Welcome to a most fabulous podcast on tomatoes with Michelle
and Trevor.
And today we're going to be talking about tomatoes. For those people who have been following the GBA Facebook page, Trevor has been growing the most amazing tomato plants as a fundraiser, and we've managed to sell 100 of them. Is that right, Trevor?
I think close to.
Which is fantastic, of a range of varieties. But what we're going to talk about today is all things tomato.
Well, really, it's about Mediterranean food, and it's the health department said to us that we should be eating more like the Mediterraneans do in order to extend our health and get like them, which in fact meant, how's your wine? No.
I'm just following instructions, Trevor.
It was fresh food in the open countryside and lots of it, and it was cooked by a mother who really knew how to make things taste good, you see. Oh. So that's what it was. Tomatoes are a bit of a contradiction in that they're Mexican. They come from Mexico, but it came from the fact that we said in spring you plant everything.
Yeah.
And that's a bit open. What I'm going to try and do is make sense of what categories are in everything. And Mediterranean is probably the category we should start with.
I think so. All things Mediterranean. Even planting. You know when you plant little beds, like when I was teaching, we'd plant a pizza bed and an Italian bed and we'd mix it all up. It was so exciting. It was so cute.
Yeah, well, tomatoes are the most common fruit in the world.
Oh.
So they started out in Mexico and they went to, with the Cortez, the Spaniard, they went to Europe, but no one ate them. Because they're a member of the deadly nightshade family, then suddenly they took on, and the reason we consider them to be Mediterranean foods now is really the skill of the Italian cooks. Those Italian cooks and their peasant food, they just wow us, you know, pizzas and pasta sauces and that sort of thing is just so popular worldwide that even the Chinese are doing a diet of pizzas, I think.
Well, when a friend of mine, they were Italian and they went back to Italy on their honeymoon, and he said the pizzas in Italy are just the base, the most fabulous tomato sauce, homemade, delicious tomato base, and then a bit of cheese. And he said, you've never tasted anything like it in your life. It's fantastic. You don't need anything else.
No, well, I was sad to hear that in Mexico they're starting to grow tomatoes indoors, air-conditioned, hydroponic, because that's what's killing them, you know. You can go down to the supermarket and you can buy these bits of cardboard that looks like tomatoes, but they don't have the taste. So we're also talking about the benefits of organic homegrown stuff, and we think that because it's free of toxins, because it's genuine, and because it's got lots of biology in the soil and in the plants, well, then it's going to be better for you health-wise. And I really think that that's the thing people listening should also latch on to, that if you can grow your own, well, then you'll love the taste. And once you love the taste, you'll be like the Italians. You'll be cooking all your meals from scratch and you'll be using all the homegrown produce that you've got there, you know.
Even not just your physical health, but I think there's nothing quite like on a really warm day. You know, when the tomatoes that you've grown heat up, you know that smell?
Yeah.
And you sort of go out there and they smell like this almost caramelized tomatoes. I actually just think growing tomatoes just for that, really positive for your mental health. That sort of is an olfactory senses. You pick them, you feel good. And then you're cooking something that's organic and hasn't travelled thousands of kilometres.
Well, yeah, I was a bit addicted to fried chicken with tomato slices. I think they were actually Brandywine tomatoes and a little bit of pepper on top. Wow, I couldn't get over it. So, yeah, it certainly does. It makes you look forward to it. I mean, some of the recipes that are around, particularly the Italian ones, you'd come home from work and you'd look at what was in front of you and you'd look forward to eating it, you see. So that is something that's missing, I think, from the fast food of today.
Oh, I remember years ago in my wild youth when I lived with a Frenchman, Trevor, and his family grew tomatoes, and every lunch was this event of these freshly cut organic tomatoes with salt, pepper, bit of vinegar, big slices of white bread, and And you would look forward to it. If someone had said to me years earlier, you're going to love a bowl of tomatoes, I would have laughed at them. You know, a bit of garlic, of course, and shallots. I mean, there's just happiness.
Well, I guess the hard part of tomatoes is growing them. They're not an easy one to grow, really. You've got to think well ahead. Tomatoes are as important in gardening as any other plant. But you've got to think well ahead. You've got to think 6 weeks ahead. When you put the seed into the pot in June in the hothouse, you should also select your gardening plot for tomatoes and fertilise it, because the organic fertiliser takes a while to get involved with the soil and start producing its best. So you're planting 6 weeks ahead. That's not easy. You need the sorts of fertiliser you've got to put in there, and not nitrogen, because that's all leaf and no produce.
I've made that mistake. No, seriously, I've made that mistake, as you know, Trevor, where I've gone, well, tomato plants, they're so... You've gone, no, Michelle, too much nitrogen.
Yeah, well, that's a common mistake. I mean, potato is related to tomato, and the same thing. Beautiful tops, but no bulbs. So you need the other two, potassium and phosphate. The phosphate is because a lot of the tomatoes are called indeterminate, and what that means is that they grow into a tree. So you know those little laterals that poke out between the leaf and the stem?
Yeah.
Each one of them forms a branch, and on each one of those branches there are laterals that form branches.
Yeah.
And on those branches there are laterals that form... And so in the end, if it gets enough food and water, it becomes a tomato tree. It produces a hell of a lot. That is why they need the phosphate, because that is the skeletal. The phosphate develops the roots and the branches and the trunk. They need the potash for the fruiting. But the difficult part really is the pruning, because I've had massive trees and produced massive number of tomatoes, but you really want to prune them such that you have less tomatoes but bigger ones.
Yeah.
So it's a tricky plant, actually, because of that.
It is, And I think it's very easy when you first start gardening to get overexcited about how prolific the bush can look. Yeah, you know what I mean? And I've made that the same way. Look at this fabulous green. Why is there no greenery on there? Why are the tomatoes really tiny? You know, and so it's really experimental.
It is. You have to keep doing it, though. I mean, last year was a brilliant year, but it's totally opposite to this year.
Yeah, that's true.
And this year's cold.
It is. It's so wet. Bizarre.
I don't know what's going on.
I know. I'm running out there, like, covering up my tomatoes with little plastic cloches.
Yeah.
And the thing is, too, which I thought was really interesting when we were fundraising and selling the tomatoes for fundraising, was that people were saying things like, oh, no, some people who lived alone wanted only the romas, because we can slice a roma on our sandwich. And then others were like, no, I need the ox hearts, because then I can stuff an ox heart for dinner. And I was just really like, wow, I had no idea people had such strong opinions on tomato and cherry tomatoes. If you've got kids, you have to grow cherry tomatoes.
There's certainly a lot, but the growing of them is where the proof is. You have to water them a lot, and you have to water just the roots, not the leaves. And that's because they're very prone to diseases. And oddly enough, although I always say plant in the sun and out of the wind, in this case, plant in the sun and a little bit in the wind, because it's the wind blowing past and that stops a lot of the diseases, the wilts and stuff. So you're not actually scared of the wind in this case, because you're putting them on trellises and you're tying them down, doing what you can, but that breeze or that wind blowing past them is a good thing, because they are very prone to diseases. So I think you should prune them to three branches. When they grow up, you take off the first leaves, the second leaves, and then you'll see that one of the little branches got a flower on it, and that's the fruiting stem. So you keep taking all the leaves off until you get to the first fruiting stem. Then after that, you let two laterals grow so that you've got the main stem plus two other branches. And after that, you should take all the laterals off, but that's debatable. So it's difficult to know exactly what to do. I think you have to practice in order to do it, because none of that's terribly easy.
No, and I've seen some fantastic trellising structures that people have set up. I'm not au fait with that. But I have made the mistake of putting two thinner stalks, like you actually stakes. Sorry, you really do need
a good trellis,
strong stake or trellis. Not a stake as in a stake and eggs.
The first time I got really good tomatoes, I had this 600 mil, 2 foot high trellis that I just put in there because I didn't expect anything, you know. And the plants went berserk. I was putting extra stakes in, tying twine to them and pulling it all up again because it was collapsing everywhere. So now I do these brilliant trellises, but I don't get the tomatoes. But no, actually.
You do.
You need a good trellis and you actually need good rotation too because unfortunately tomatoes really need at least 3 years rotation.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got to come with beans after them or lettuce after them or carrots after them or something like that. You cannot put potatoes, eggplant or capsicum in the same place 2 years running, I don't think.
No, I agree with you, actually. So are we still talking eggplant? We're going to talk a little bit of eggplant, capsicum?
Well, I don't know. My mouth is watering. What's your favourite tomato recipe anyway?
Honestly, I'm going to tell you my favourite tomato recipe, and it's something I watched on Jamie Oliver, and I loved it. So what you do is you get a pan, and you fill it with basil, because of course you grow basil when you grow tomato, because, you know, it's like it goes together like love and marriage and a horse and carriage.
Yep.
So I put tons of basil in the base, and sometimes parsley and some sage. It just depends. Experiment. Then I get my tomatoes, and I actually don't mind what the tomatoes are, but I slice them. I like the Romas or the ox hearts for this, but don't get too precious. And I cut them, I cut in a plus or a cross, and then you stuff them with bay leaves. So I have a bay tree. So you put bay leaves in each tomato, right? And then really pack it in on top of the basil, okay? Then you sprinkle that with balsamic vinegar.
Right.
Chuck bulbs of garlic everywhere through it, And balsamic vinegar, smidgy bit of sugar, not too much, but I do find a little bit of sugar with tomatoes is very helpful.
Good.
Now, I actually don't put salt and pepper on it.
Ooh.
I know, a bit radical, but I do olive oil. And then I put it in the oven on, look, I want to say maybe 100.
Low.
Really low, and then I just slowly cook it all day long. And then when it's all mushed together, you get it out, you chuck it in the blender, and then you have got the most delicious sauce. And then from there, when I have a day where I make that up, so I'll blend it up, I'll put them in glass jars, right? But one of those I'll put there and you have with some fresh bread. Easy. Dip your bread in. It's not soup. But that forms such a good basis for everything. And then my other favourite tomato recipe is getting the big ox hearts, which a lot of people don't like. And I kind of think they're missing the point because I think stuffed vegetables are really delicious. You get the ox heart, you cut the top off, scoop it out, mix it with some lovely cooked rice, which has had some sage put through it. Bit of parsley, bit of garlic, stuff it back in again, maybe a little bit of cheese, put it in the oven and bake it until the tomato's soft. I love it.
Well, I'm simple compared to that.
I also love when you just chop up the fresh tomato with the fresh garlic, a little bit of olive oil and put it on bruschetta.
Yeah, I do like that. But
yeah.
I mean, we often get more than we can eat, and therefore you pick them when they're just turning colour and you line them up on your windowsill, not a sunny windowsill this time, a south-facing windowsill with no sun, and they will go from just a little bit of colour to brilliant red, and that's the best thing to do. It doesn't lose any flavour, but it avoids all the pests. And we often get so much that after we've eaten all we can, we've still got some left. And the thing I like doing, really, is just putting them, you cut off all the bad bits, you put them in the whiz, you add sugar, salt, pepper to them, and you just cook them until they become less watery.
Yeah.
And then you freeze them.
And
you can get 20 or so of them in the fridge. Well, there's, 20 tins of imported Italian tomatoes you don't have to buy. And I think they put too much salt in those cans, to be honest. Those cans of Italian tomatoes. You're better off buying the passata, which comes in a glass jar with a screw airtight lid. That seems to be better than buying the cans.
Add your olive oil as you go to it. Like, I don't need to use the whole bottle. I just top it up a little, like put maybe a centimetre of olive oil on it. It stops the mould.
On the store.
So say if I've got the Posada.
Yeah.
If I do have a buy the Posada in a glass jar. And I don't use it all.
Yeah, I freeze it though. But you don't, obviously.
Not always, because if I'm not going to use the whole thing, and then I'll just top it up with a bit of olive oil, leave it in the fridge, and then it keeps it keeps it nice. I mean, look, the other thing is just my son used to just eat tomatoes. Like, and people were like, oh, it's amazing the way he eats a tomato. And I used to think, well, how is that any different to an apple, you know? And the cherry tomatoes, we talk about food for health, but this is where we start with the littlies. I mean, my 9-month-old granddaughter and, you know, your granddaughter eating the cherry tomatoes, eating the fruit just without anything on it.
Yeah, well, so, and salads are like that. So certainly tomato is a salad plant as well. We'd better get on. The Mediterranean foods include eggplant and capsicum. Now, they're both from the same family. They both require the same soil as tomato. You have to say that eggplant can be planted later, so you've still got time to put eggplant in. Capsicum, too. This year, everything's a month late. So
I was going to say, it's everything just...
they talk about blossom end rot in all of these, and blossom end rot is when the fruit is ripe, but it's all rotten on the bottom.
Okay.
And you'll see it quite a lot. It happens almost, well, every time, but it's due either to lack of even watering, and let's face it, who waters every day, or lack of calcium. Now, calcium is in gypsum, lime, dolomite, right? But if you're in Elizabeth or if you're in Gawler, it's highly likely that you don't have that problem because we've actually got limestone beneath our topsoil.
Okay, yep.
So we're not likely to have a lack of calcium, although if you want to go out and buy gypsum, lime or dolomite, you're fine. But if you just put a little bit of Epsom salts in, now Epsom salts got magnesium, and I'm pretty sure I'm right in saying that it releases iron, magnesium and zinc from the ground. So
you do it with orange trees, so... You know, you sprinkle magnesium apparently around your orange trees and water that in, so...
Yeah, so Epsom salt's a good idea for all three of these. So when you're giving them a bit of a liquid fertiliser, and they do need a lot of fertiliser, they can grow, they can really grow. So if you add a bit of Epsom salts, that will give you the calcium from the soil, I think. Capsicums are practically bulletproof, I think. They don't grow as quick as eggplant. Eggplant is... bulletproof, except for something called the flea beetle.
I love eggplant. I love growing eggplant.
Mm.
I just think there's something, it seems so exotic. I don't know why. And it's just, I still think eggplant is an underrated
vegetable. Think it is. I think it needs a cook, bro. What's your favourite eggplant dish?
Oh, baba ghanoush. I remember years ago when I was fortunate enough to teach in a very multicultural school, and this wonderful Arabic woman and I were discussing eggplants and how I had grown a huge crop of eggplants. And she said to me, if you bring me the eggplants, can I have the eggplants? Because, of course, you know, they want organic good produce. She said, how about if you bring me the eggplants, I make baba ghanoush and I give you some of the baba ghanoush, but I keep some of the eggplants for me, which I was very happy with that arrangement. So she was smoking them over a fire, open flame, and then she was making the baba ghanoush, which...
Excuse me, over open flame, you're actually doing more than smoking them, aren't you?
I know, maybe she was charring them. I didn't ask Trevor. I just enjoyed the result. This
was the skin on, wasn't it?
With the skin on.
Okay, that makes sense.
So a really good baba ghanoush that's really got that really smoky, garlicky flavour I love. I also, honestly, my mum, who doesn't even profess to call herself a cook, my mum's one of those people who... She has 3 or 4 signature dishes that she does brilliantly.
Yeah.
And one of those is eggplant parmigiana.
Mm.
You know, and big, thick chunks of the eggplant.
Yeah.
But I also, one of my cousins, her father's Indian, and we went to her grandma's house one day, and her grandmother had fried the eggplant slices in a whole bunch of spices, Indian spices.
Mm, yeah.
So they were just like... They were actually really soft because eggplant absorbs oil. So however much oil they tell you to use half, you know. And then she just served us this whole plate of just eggplant fried in Indian spices. And I reckon she must have done that 25 years ago and I still remember that flavour.
Amazing.
But the thing is, some recipes, some people believe that being healthy is like not using oil. So some recipes will say steam the eggplant because the eggplant doesn't absorb the oil. Now, it does taste okay, Trevor. But
olive oil forever.
A good olive oil with a good, actually, even an olive oil that's been infused with garlic. You put in the pan and you fry thick slices of eggplant. The problem is people do their eggplant too thin.
Yeah.
You do a good thick slices of eggplant.
You can actually coat it in flour as well, can't you?
Oh, see, Trevor, there's no end to your amazingness. And then you add your little bit of the tomato sauce, the aforementioned tomato sauce.
Yes, well, that's going to make everything taste good.
Sprinkle a bit of feta, none of this other cheese, a bit of feta on it and grill it. And honestly... So that was three of my favourite ways of having tomato. And the other one, Trevor, now that you've asked so nicely, is simply chop up your onion, cube up your eggplant. Now, by the way, you're meant to salt your eggplant, but you don't need to salt your homegrown eggplant.
No, that's right.
Chop up your eggplant, chop up your tomatoes, chop up your capsicum, olive oil, bit of stock, ton of herbs, whatever you want to chuck in there, and just slow cook it into like a ratatouille.
Yeah.
Oh, chuck it on pasta, bread, a big giant steak if that's what you're into. Honestly, a good ratatouille.
And you can actually just put them all on the grill on the barbecue, can't you?
You use
zucchini and eggplant and
capsicum,
and all can just be grilled quickly outdoors. They do get some flavour. Yeah.
And actually put it on a bed of polenta. Polenta's really underrated. So make yourself up some polenta. Very easy to make. Great for those who have to be mindful of gluten. Roast up, or like put all those veggies on the barbecue, char grill, chuck them on the polenta base, add some feta once again, and honestly, you'll never order pizza again. Trevor's coming for dinner.
Well, the Mediterranean plants do include basil, oregano, marjoram, thyme, cucumber, chilli, artichoke heart, zucchini, and rosemary, I'm reckoning.
Yeah.
That they would all be in the Mediterranean diet, wouldn't they?
Zucchini is really interesting, actually. I really love zucchini. And then they've got these new things that the zoodles. So people are really watching their gluten intake. Yeah, you put a zucchini in this machine and you turn the handle and you end up with this spiral spaghetti-like noodle zucchini. It's absolutely fantastic. Really lightly fry it in some, you guessed it, olive oil and garlic. And that's fantastic. Rosemary. Apparently a house that has lots of rosemary in it means the woman is the boss. That's a bit of a thing. Chili. Please add chili to your food. I mean, my son was 2 years old and eating chili. People have this real thing about chili. Eat it. It's delicious. And
it
even if
hot,
you just
though.
Fry, it is hot. But I made a green Thai curry the other day for my son and daughter-in-law, and I got the whole chilies, you know, the thin whole chilies, and I actually flash fried them.
They were dried.
Flash fried them. Kaffir lime leaves.
Ooh.
Right.
Ooh.
And then I took them out, then I put some fish in the pan and continued with my green chili. But the chili, honestly, and artichoke hearts, how good are they?
Yeah, we've done fresh artichoke hearts in butter, and as you peel them, you eat the top part. As you get towards the heart, you eat a lot. And cucumber's not that easy to grow, although, I mean, zucchini is. Everyone's growing zucchini. It's the same thing when you grow cucumber, but, well, cucumber grows along the ground, but it wants to grow up a bit, so...
Mm.
Doesn't really grow up trellises. Even melons grow better than cucumber up trellises.
It's really weird. Whenever I've tried to grow a cucumber up a trellis, it just has been a disaster. When it's all over the ground, it's fabulous. But then, of course, you tread on some of them. So and pick them small. A bit the same as zucchinis. Like, people love a giant zucchini. Like, don't pick a giant zucchini. Just pick them tiny.
Mm. So they all like the same soil. You have to experiment. You have to be in it to win it. So you should try them all, and you should become more and more expert with the cooking of them too.
I think so. And the thing is, like you were talking about with the health, a lot of the complaints I hear people when they talk about fruit and veg today is, oh, it doesn't have the taste of this, it doesn't have the taste of that. But grab a pot. So my son and daughter-in-law are renting you know, and they're very lucky. The new landlord is really happy for them to do what they want in the garden, and which is very sensible because they're actually, this landlord's going to end up with a really gorgeous garden. They're both really keen to get started on veggie plots, but they've just started with big pots. Get a giant pot, those big plastic pots, fill it with good potting soil, chuck in your tomato, put it, just even if it's one plant, I mean, I live on my own. You know, I've got my raised garden beds. I mean, you know, I'm lucky I can give stuff away, but I often don't. You just grow it because, honestly, there's nothing like a homegrown.
Yeah.
And the health. It's good for your physical health, but good for your mental health.
It is. You do get achievement out of gardening. We didn't mention Mexican. It could obviously be used in Mexican. I mean, there isn't a problem there. Tomato sauces, you mentioned one, but yours is a very luxurious one. There is other tomato sauces with peppercorns and stuff that is, you know, more like old-fashioned sauce without the easy sauce. There is a lot of meals that you can cook with tomatoes. I think we've just about covered them all.
I think we have. I just realised, though, and if you've got a huge, abundant crop of tomatoes, slice them up, put them in the oven on low, really, really low, and dry them. Or put them on a rack outside. Yeah. Put them on a rack outside, pack them in olive oil, and...
Well, just put them in a rack outside, they'll certainly dry.
Yeah, and when they're dry, yum. Like, seriously,
life is
good.
They can be cooked in... all sorts of fancy breads and stuff.
They can. So what are we talking about next month, Trevor?
Well, I think if it's all right with you, we'll go on to the three sisters, the corn, beans, pumpkin, and probably potatoes as well, because that's the other grouping of everything.
Excellent. That's what I'm experimenting with. So we'll see you next month.
Yep. See you then.